Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 107, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. My name is Matt. I'm your host. And today's episode, I just want to bring to you a mixed bag of sort of geeky topics for you and give you an update on some of the craziness that has been going on with me over the last few weeks. First of all, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I had a really great interview with my friend Danny Lee from Danimal Sound, and we discussed audio production. It was a whole lot of fun to have another guest on the show and really hear from their perspective some tips and tricks in the sort of audio video world. And on top of that, I've got some really great interviews lined up for the future. I'm going to get into that at the end of this podcast. But what I want to talk about first is a lot of times when I'm working on these podcasts, I really sort of get excited and I forget to plug a few things. And last week, I forgot to plug the PodNuts website. And so if you haven't checked out PodNuts, go to podnuts.com. They do a really great job of putting together great technology shows week after week. And I try to mention it every week on every show, not because I have to, but because all of the other hosts on all of the other shows on the network, they have just as much passion and drive as I do when it comes to some of these topics. And I like to talk about all the different shows that are available in case you are a first-time listener. So go to PodNuts, PodNuts.com, and check out all the great shows and support that network in any way that you can. Now, this summer, I have been sticking to the goal of trying to release an episode per week. And those of you who listen week after week, you know that my summer is usually pretty crazy. Well, this summer, on top of the pretty busy work schedule, if you've joined me in the Discord chat room, I've posted some of the craziness that's that goes on in my everyday work schedule. And I share that just so the regulars in the chat room, they know that I get on the mic whenever I have the chance to. And this week's a little late because things have been extremely busy for me over the last week and a half. I have performed in two concerts. I have had the wonderful opportunity to see the world-famous Glenn Miller Orchestra perform in my hometown at a beautifully renovated theater. And if you don't know anything about the Glenn Miller Orchestra, the Glenn Miller Orchestra has been basically on tour for 70 years, maybe even more. Glenn Miller was famous during the big band era and put out many popular recordings during the 1930s, 1940s. And then when World War II came about, he actually enlisted in the military and joined eventually after he completed his training, the Army Air Corps. When he joined in the Army Air Corps, he actually organized a military band called the Glenn Miller Army Air Force Band. And he wanted to entertain all the fighting troops that traveled the world. And it took another year, and then his band was actually shipped out to England. And so in less than 1 year, that Glenn Miller Army Air Force Band played over 800 performances in just 1 year. And 500 of those were heard by millions and millions of people. So Glenn Miller was probably one of the more famous musicians of that time period. And in the fall of 1944, the band was supposed to set off on a six-week tour of Europe. And during that time, Miller decided to make the proper arrangements for the group's arrival, and he arranged a transport from England to Paris, and he boarded the flight on December 15th, and his plane was presumed to have crashed, and he was never seen again. His legacy has lived on over many years, and the Glenn Miller Orchestra continues to this day. It's had many leaders over the last few decades. And one of my highlights, I would say, as an educator was when I was actually able to host the Glenn Miller Orchestra at my school district in 2010. I spent about 8 months preparing to have them, selling tickets, building basically a stage for them, and then getting a whole bunch of kids involved with the actual performance. And under that time, it was under the leadership of Larry O'Brien, who was a trombone player, one of the nicest gentlemen that I have ever had the pleasure to meet. And the band was top-notch and really enjoyed the concert. So when the Glenn Miller Orchestra was to come back into my hometown at a just newly renovated theater, this is an old vaudeville theater that holds, I would presume, about 1,000 people, smaller theater. Beautifully restored theater, vintage from that era. It was something that I was trying to fit into my schedule. I wasn't quite sure if we were going to go or not. The concert was supposed to start at a 7 o'clock time, and I bought my ticket at 6:20. There were very few tickets left, and I was glad to actually get a chance to go and see this. My older brother, he basically says when you go see a band like this, it's almost like an audio museum. You're going to hear music from a time period played in that style, and for many people, especially older folks, it brings back a lot of memories. Grandparents, great-grandparents probably listened to some of this music as they were growing up. For me, I listened to a lot of it when I was in high school. We played a lot of that music when I played in the high school jazz bands, that type of thing. I won't want to spend a whole lot of time and effort on the musical aspects of it, but just having that opportunity of hearing something that not a lot of people would go and hear, boy, it was really enjoyable. And the highlight for me actually was I had just in front of me and over to the right in another aisle, I had two of my students that I didn't know they had purchased tickets, and watching them and hearing them talk about, get excited when they hear some of the song titles because they played it in our school jazz band and they really enjoyed the concert. So that was more of the highlight for me. Just one of the things that I happened to get a chance to do this summer, and it totally was unplanned. So far this summer, we're basically at my summer job, this summer tourist attraction. We're in the peak tourist season at this point. For the last 2 weeks of July and the first 2 weeks of August in the Montreal area of Canada, many factories shut down for 2 weeks at a time. And many people are allowed to go on vacation during this time. And as a tourist attraction, we get a lot of travelers from Canada that come down, and it gets very, very busy during this time. So getting a chance to see this, that was really great. And I was actually happy that we went to the show. We weren't very sure if we were going to make it or not. We finally did. The very next day, this is where I'm leading up to with this story. Basically, it was a Saturday I saw Glenn Miller. The very next day was another thing that I wasn't planning on being a part of. I've always thought about volunteering for this event. And being a part of the local amateur radio club, what I did was I signed up to volunteer for communications of a major event in my area. And what I signed up for was to be communications for an Ironman race. Now, if you're not familiar with what an Ironman triathlon is, basically it is a long-distance triathlon that is organized by the World Triathlon Corporation. It consists of a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and a 26.22-mile marathon. So it is an incredibly long race that is raced in that order. So swim, bike, and run in that order without a break. And it is considered to be one of the most difficult one-day sporting events in the world. They have a limited time to complete the race. So you have 17 hours to complete the race. Most races start at 7 a.m. in the morning. And then over a period of time, there's a cutoff for the swim, a cutoff for the bike, and a cutoff for the running portion of the triathlon. So these types of events are huge, and they take a lot of effort, a lot of volunteers to set up aid stations, to having EMS at various sites throughout the course, to having radio communications for putting together everything as the day goes on. And so I signed up to be part of communications. I wanted to help the local club out for helping me at my school district. I wasn't planning on really enjoying the event. It's not really my thing. In fact, this event locally, there's 2,700 people that sign up for this event to be a part of the race. So I usually stay about as far away from that event as possible. And it's an annual event. But I signed up and my designated position was in a SAG vehicle. And basically, that's a support and gear vehicle. And the job was, if people couldn't continue on the race, those vehicles go around and pick up the riders that choose to no longer continue or cannot continue. I wasn't sure what that was going to be like. So I had a driver and myself was in the passenger seat running amateur radio. And I really, after just a few minutes, okay, all right. I want to take a step back. So the race here started at 6:30 in the morning with the swim. And I got in the SAG vehicle at 7 a.m. and I had to drive about 20 miles to a small town to an aid station that was on this on the bike riding course. And by the time that I got in my vehicle and we drove the 20 miles to the aid station, the leader of the race had completed the swim, the 2.4 mile swim, and was halfway around the first loop of the bike course, the 120 mile bike course. And this was in, it just blew my mind how fast this leader was. And the leader of the race, every time it passed an aid station for the bikes, they have a bib number with their number on it. And the radio communications guys were trying to forward that the leader had just passed this aid station. And every time the bike rider passed the aid station, they'd ask, was there a bib number? And they would say, there was, but the bike rider was moving way too fast. We did not catch it. And so it just shows how fast these trained athletes. There's a pro section where many professionals are in the race. And then there's anyone else who wants to try the Ironman triathlon just for fun. So I was at aid station 4. And we basically, my job, I was told I was communications only. I was not allowed to pick up the bikes. I was not allowed to help out in any other way. The riders have to put their bikes in the vehicle, and then we bring them back to the transition, the start of the race. So it was kind of a rainy day and a rainy morning, but it wasn't a washout. It was sprinkled here and there. And as the day went on, it hit me at one point in time with all of the different things happening in this event. You have ambulances, you have the SAG vehicles, you have the tech vehicles that go out and make repairs. You have basically net control, which runs everything. And you have all of these different volunteers spread over the bike loop's 112 miles. In this case, it was actually smaller than that. The bike loop was done twice, which made up the 112 miles. And it's a very mountainous area. Communications, cell phone service is limited in most areas. And it was a lot of fun to actually see what a real net control for amateur radio and how it all worked and how everybody reported into net control and reported what was going on in various areas. I had so much fun with this that I'm probably going to do it again next year. I enjoyed being part of the team. I enjoyed making things run smoothly. And I couldn't work the whole day. I was only scheduled from 7 to 12:30. And but I had about an hour drive home. And I left my radio on connected to the repeater that the race was on. And it was just an amazing thing to hear and listen to all these volunteers, the amateur radio operators, being a part of this event. And to be honest, and this is really no bias, this event couldn't happen without the radio operators. It's just so, I actually witnessed, you know, the driver in my car had a small radio. She was not an amateur radio operator. She had like a walkie talkie that didn't work the whole day because they don't have the range and capabilities that amateur radio operators have. So it was a whole lot of fun to be a part of this Ironman triathlon, and I'll do it again in a heartbeat. And if anybody else there gets a chance to volunteer at something like this, it is kind of fun to do. There's other things to volunteer. You can, you know, pass out the water jugs as the racers come by. But boy, when you see 2,700 bike riders just coming one after another, it's a sight to see. And so that's another sort of geeky thing that I got into. With that, another week went by, and I had the opportunity in the same theater that I saw the Glenn Miller Orchestra perform in, I had an opportunity to see a magic and illusion show from Mike Super. And if you're not sure who Mike Super is, Mike Super is, he was a finalist on America's Got Talent. He was on Penn and Teller's Fool Us show. He was also the winner of NBC's Phenomenon show, and has been traveling around the country, sort of building up his fan base, playing in small theaters, and eventually I believe he's going to have a TV show at some point in time. But his performances are quite lavish with what he puts together and what everybody in the show just really enjoyed it. I looked at it from a tech perspective. He had a crew that followed him around that did the lighting, the audio. He had a small cameraman that followed him around in the audience. And so every time he came out into the audience, the cameraman would follow him. And he would do his illusions right on camera with a big screen on the stage. And I wasn't sure if we were going to really like this show. At the beginning, we watched some videos on YouTube of some of his illusions on America's Got Talent. The first one we watched, we weren't all that impressed with. But as the night went on, his personality came out a little bit more. And he really, it was a down-to-earth and family-friendly show, which you don't get to see a whole lot of. There wasn't a lot of insults being thrown to the audience. Even with magic and illusion, sometimes, you know, you may have off-color jokes and that type of thing, but this was really family-friendly. Kids came up on the stage, had a really great time, and it was a really interactive show. And if you ever have a chance to go see Mike Super, go to mikesuper.com and just check out some of the stuff he does. And his live show is much different than anything else that I have seen. It's been a long time since I've seen a magic show live on stage. I remember seeing Penn and Teller live when I was in college, and I really enjoyed that show. And I know a lot of things to look for, sleight of hand. But to me, it's still fun to watch and still fun to enjoy. What really got to me about this particular show is the very last illusion that he performed. It had a pretty powerful message, and the message involved growing up with his mother. His mother had passed away. It was a true story, and it was a very heartwarming story, made the audience feel good, and the last illusion, I was just not going to give it away, but had a very inspiring message, and I really like inspiring messages, especially in today's world where everything is so fast-paced, everything is wants and needs. And this message was just all a message about how much he loved his mother and wished his mother could see him performing on stage because she never had the opportunity to. So he does this particular stunt at the end of every show for his mother. And it's just it was a very sweet ending to a major player in the up-and-coming magic world. So there was a few hiccups in his show when it came to timing with the people that were backstage. with the technical side of everything. In fact, the camera that he was using, the cameraman, they had an LED ring around the lens. It's almost like a macro light for the magic tricks. And that actually, the light actually blew in the middle of the show. So the cameraman had a little panic look on his face, but they did it okay. They kept it going. The show must go on. And I would highly recommend to see this show if you ever get a chance. He is touring around and mentioned a TV show coming in 2019. So next up, another sort of geeky thing that has happened recently. So my wife and I went for a drive at one point in time during the week, this past week. And we went out and I forget exactly what we were doing. I think we went out to catch some sights of the full moon, and we were trying to see some beautiful views of the moon behind. We have a beautiful lake, and we went out to see the full moon, but we couldn't see the moon because it was actually raining out. And look in one direction, is very cloudy, and I turned around, and the other direction, it was actually like a very clear night. The stars were just starting to come out, and I said, well, I wish we could look this way and see something interesting, because if we're looking at the moon, we can't see it. It's behind the clouds. So as soon as I said that, looking in the clear direction, then I said, hey, that looks like the space station, and the space station flew overhead. Kind of a cool thing that happened, just out of just good timing. Sort of waved to the space station, and excited to get a chance to talk with the astronauts later on in between January and June of next year. I've mentioned it before that my school district is going to be one of seven schools that's going to get a chance to talk to the International Space Station. I've taken two classes recently with the ARIS project, and basically that helps us get set up with a mentor and get us everything we need for our equipment plan so that we can do this in the future. Well, long story short, that's in progress, and later on in the school year, that's going to be a real big thing. But we returned home, and my father-in-law had dropped off something that he bought at an auction for $3, and I wasn't sure what it was, so I pulled it out of the box, and it was actually a CB radio. Now, when I was in college, I had a Citizens Band radio in my car, and I used to travel up and down a highway about 2 hours to and from home to school, and oftentimes I'd turn on the CB radio, listen to Channel 19, try to hear some truckers on the highway, or just to have Channel 9 available to talk with. In case of emergency, I could get a hold of somebody. I know a lot of police frequencies, a lot of times they monitor Channel 9. And so I was quite surprised to see this radio, and I heard the story that he bought this at an auction for $3. And he thought of me just because I have the amateur radio license. And so what it was a Cobra 29 LX model CB radio. Now, when I first took it out of the box, it was kind of dusty, and at first I thought it was kind of this relic. I was like, oh, this must be from the early 90s. Okay, it's all right. And yeah, he paid $3 for it. Okay, so this thing, I don't know what I think of this so far. So I got the model and I looked it up, and it turns out brand new at Best Buy currently, you can buy this radio for $120, and it happens to be one of the most up-to-date CB radios out there, technology speaking. So I've got a mobile radio in my car, but I wanted to take this for a spin and see what it could do. Now, I haven't had a whole lot of time to play with this. It's just recently that this happened. But CB radio can be kind of fun. If you're a ham radio operator, you'll probably be made fun of from other ham radio operators for joining the CB world. In fact, one radio operator told me to stay away from the zoo because there's some strange animals out there. Well, I happen to like strange animals, and I like zoos too. So I was pretty excited to just give this a shot because, hey, it was free and why not give it a shot and take it for a spin. So I ended up buying a really cheap $15 radio just to try it out. I plugged it in my car. It actually plugs in through a cigarette outlet in the car. And sure enough, the radio worked just fine. And as I went out for a drive one night, the radio was picking up signals. I could hear lots of CB traffic. So it'd be something worthwhile if you're interested in radio operation without an amateur radio license. CB radio tends to be kind of open for anybody to get on. And there are some rules that most people don't follow, like limiting your conversations to 5 minutes, which doesn't really happen a whole lot. But the way that I looked at it is this radio would be really great to have for emergencies or just something else to have to work on radio communication skills, that type of thing. And if you can find our CB radio at an auction or an estate sale, hey, why not pick it up and give it a shot? You can buy really cheap antennas and then you'll be up and running. And just like you would if you had an amateur radio license. So CB is where I got my start in radio. And it's kind of fun to just get back to that for a little bit. And so again, the model is a Cobra 29LX. You can get it at Best Buy. They had an LX Max at one point in time, I believe, as well. Kind of a neat radio. Just a little bit of one of those extra things for this show for geekiness. For anybody out there interested in that topic. In the Discord chat room over the last few weeks, Morton has been giving me lots of suggestions, and I just wanted to thank him personally for taking the time. He has provided me with a lot of great ideas for the show, and Morton, I'm going to get to them at one point in time, I promise. I will do my best. He's gotten me into Mastodon. He's gotten me into a few other topics off air. And recently he made me think about Elementary OS a little bit, especially with last week's episode where we interviewed sort of a Mac guy who's into audio production. And Elementary OS is sort of built to emulate that Mac polish and look and feel. And for some reason, I always overlook it and haven't really had an opportunity to talk about it on the show. That's not because it's a terrible project or anything. I just always seem to have gone on to other topics for some reason. So I'm going to take a look at Elementary OS for the next few weeks, and I'll let you know what I think of it as soon as I kind of kick the tires a little bit on it. And I'm really looking forward to actually putting a show together for this because I think it's time that I give a good review of it. Speaking of Linux, next Tuesday, from the recording of this, I'm recording on August 2nd at this point in time. And next Tuesday, streaming live on YouTube, I really hope to get a chance to interview Larry Bushy from the Going Linux podcast. And we have some great ideas lined up for that show. And I can't wait to talk Linux with probably one of the longest running Linux podcasts out there. And Larry's been around a while. He's a professional when it comes to Linux, and it'll be fun to pick his brain on some Linux topics over the next few weeks. And if you remember way back, maybe about a year ago, maybe a little less than a year ago, Larry actually sent me some books to give away as a contest for some listeners on Ubuntu Mate. So we're going to talk about his most recent edition of his book, and I'm really excited to get him on the show. So that's going to be a whole lot of fun this coming Tuesday. If you want to check out any of the other shows, I've got links on my website, mrptechreviews.com. Really looking forward to everything that's coming down the line. I've got so many fun interviews and so many different topics that I'm going to intersperse in between the normal shows where it's just me sort of talking about the tech topics that I'm working on recently. So I do have a list. I don't know how many people are on the list right now. Morton has suggested a few people in the Discord chat server again. And so there's lots coming down the line here for the foreseeable future with this show. And once again, if I happen to miss a week or something during the summer, don't panic. I'll be back soon. I really appreciate all the feedback that I have been getting. So if you would like to, if you're a listener, let me know what you think of the show. Send me an email, and it is mrptechreviews@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Even if you've listened to the show for one episode or for 107 episodes, really would like to hear from you. And tell me what you like about the show. Just say hello. You don't even have to tell me what you like about the show. If you listen to the show, I'd love to hear from you. Give me ideas for the show topics. I'd love some ideas. What do you want to hear as far as the show goes? Fun thing about doing this show is I get to talk about anything tech topics, and there's a lot to that. I don't get stuck in one routine talking about the same topic week after week. That's what makes this show fun for me, and hopefully it's fun for you too. That's going to do it for this week. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next time.